Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Stand up for your country. Well, didn't take long. Ronna McDaniel looks like she's out as the cowardly NBC executives throw her off the side of the boat because she is a conservative. And why they even hired her in the first place is a mystery of the universe. We'll get to it later on. You know, the news machine in America went wild this morning with the Baltimore bridge collapse. And I understand, I mean, it's pretty harrowing to think you might be driving across a bridge and then boom, it falls into the water. But the reason that the news agencies spent so much time on it is because they're tired of politics. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to cover Biden or cover Trump. They just don't know what to do. So any kind of diversion like this, they seize upon. But we do not do that because we understand that politics is interconnected with your life. Okay, so what happens in Washington and your state capitals directly influences how you live, your children, your friends, on. And that's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So public disorder is rising in urban areas run by leftists in America. There's no doubt about that. So if you go to San Francisco or Chicago or New York City or Baltimore or St. Louis and on and on and on and on, you are not safe. And the reason that you are not safe any longer, because you were safe maybe 6 or 7 years ago, is because the leftist district attorneys refuse to punish criminals. It's as simple as that. If you do not punish the miscreants, they're going to run wild and hurt people. That's it. Now I'm going to prove it to you. So New York City just yesterday, a Monday in late March, ordinary day, 31-year-old police officer Jonathan Diller shot dead in a traffic stop. His alleged killer, Guy Rivera, has been arrested 21 times, including 9 felonies. He's out on the street with a gun. Okay? That's New York City. So this 31-year-old officer, married, couple of kids, he's dead because they won't keep this guy, Rivera, in prison. That's it. Okay. Same day, Monday, a commuter was standing waiting for the subway car when someone pushed him onto the tracks and he was killed for no reason. Okay? No reason at all. The suspect has been arrested, Carlton McPherson, 24. Okay? And he has been released without bail on Halloween last year, after being arrested for assault, menacing, and other charges in Brooklyn. He failed to show up twice for his hearing. Still out on the street. Now, he's arrested for pushing this worker, this commuter, to his death, and they give him $2,000 bail, which he meets. He's out on the street. The guy who allegedly pushed an innocent person in front of a subway is out today, walking around. This is impossible to believe, but it is true. Okay? Yesterday, Monday, New York City, at least 3 people were stabbed, slashed, okay, in public, on the street, and a woman, 46-year-old, found dead in her Bronx house. And it looks like a homicide. Subway violence in New York City is up 50% from 2019. 50%. Now, again, the reason is the DA, Alvin Bragg, a Soros man, funded by George Soros, will not prosecute crimes. And the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, in way over his head, he's a bystander. Okay, he does nothing. He doesn't even speak out about this stuff. There's nothing from him. So I gave him a chance. All right, I've met him a couple of times. Seems like an okay guy, but it's a disaster. New York City is a disaster. And then you have the legislature in Albany who passed these insane no bail laws, signed by former Governor Andrew Cuomo and certified by President Governor Kathy Hochul. Now, all of the names I mentioned of these politicians, they don't care about you at all. They don't care whether you live or you die. And that is the situation we are in. Since 2018, 1 million people have left New York State. 1 million. Since 2018, 812,000 have left New York City. Again, these politicians do not care. This whole state, New York, in 5 years, if it keeps going this way, will collapse financially because the people paying the taxes are getting the deuce out of here. They're being replaced by migrants who are not going to be able to pay taxes. In fact, they will take from the city and state governments. Okay, that's where we are, and that's the memo. So it's politics. It's far left people being elected to office by Americans. It's not like Adams and Bragg and Hochul and Cuomo just showed up. They were elected. And it doesn't even matter how poorly they perform, how dangerous the city is. Millions of people still vote for them again. And we got that with Joe Biden as well. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Okay, so there is a case you should know about. I think you probably have heard about it. This happened last May, all right? So a man named Daniel Penny, who was a college student, okay, was on the subway. And he encountered a man named Jordan Neely, 30 years old. Penny's 24. Neely was in the subway screaming things like, "Someone is going to die today," according to eyewitnesses, okay? Now, Penny reached the rank of sergeant in the Marine Corps, so he knew what he was doing physically. He encountered Neely, got him in a hold around his neck, and Neely died. Alvin Bragg charged Penny, 24 again, former Marine, with second-degree homicide and other charges. And the trial is October 8th. Now, this has caused outrage in the city of New York that he was tried for anything. But he has to go through the process. Penny does. So joining us now is a Penny's defense attorney, Thomas Kenneth, law firm of Reiser Kenneth. A couple of facts about you, counselor. You took the case after a Go Send Go Fund, Give Send Go Fund was set up. It's raised more than $3 million. So you're getting paid. Your firm's getting paid. Nothing wrong with that. All right. But people were generous enough to help Daniel Penny. So as you go into the trial, it's going to come up fast, 6 months from now, less. Have you seen all the discovery in the case so far? Have you seen everything that the police have?
At this point, we have very voluminous discovery. I'll point out that we originally took Mr. Penny's case on as pro bono because both my partner, Stephen Razor, and I are Iraq war veterans, and Mr. Penny being a Marine. And we set up the Give, Send, Go campaign within the firm. Of course, we never knew, we could never know it was going to be as successful as it was. It wound up taking off and raising millions of dollars.
So you have not seen what Bragg's office is going to present, even though they had to present it to a grand jury. You're privy to that, right?
We were privy. I mean, we first of all, we saw the transcripts of the whole grand jury presentation, about 550 pages of testimony, from including about a dozen individuals who were on the train. And that was probably the most eye-opening thing.
Let me stop you there because I want to walk through this. Did any of the individuals in the subway car, according to the grand jury testimony, say that your client, Daniel Penny, was hostile, aggressive, should not have done what he did? Did they have witnesses that are going to come in and say, hey, Penny killed him and he shouldn't have done it?
They don't. The closest they have to that is one individual who has approaching 50 prior criminal convictions, had just been convicted and sentenced for bludgeoning one of his friends with a baseball bat about a year
before.
That's
all they have.
He was not in the subway car, but walked up
so they
as
have
the incident was already.
Yeah. According to the grand jury testimony, they have nothing. They have nobody pointing a finger at your client. Why then did the grand jury indict?
So those who understand the grand jury process, and I've been practicing criminal law as a prosecutor and defense attorney for over 20 years in this city, the standard that a grand jury applies is reasonable cause. That's lower than the standard a police officer would need to summons you on the street for a petty offense. Moreover, a grand jury is comprised of 23 individuals. Only 12 of those 23 have to vote to indict, unlike a criminal trial where you obviously need a unanimous verdict. In addition, in a grand jury, the defense plays no role. The only time a defense attorney would be anywhere near the grand jury would be if the defendant is testifying, which almost never happens.
With 500 pages of testimony and no one pointing the finger at your client as being the aggressor or out of line here, it seems to me that it's almost impossible. But it is New York City, okay? And this is not really America anymore. Now, on your side, you're going to be able to bring in a bevy of witnesses, I assume. They're going to say they feared for their life, that they thought this Jordan Neely was a dangerous character and that your client, Penny, did the right thing in protecting them. I assume you have that locked down, right?
Absolutely. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's locked down, one, because it's already been testified to in the grand jury, so no one could run away from it, not that they'd want to. And secondly, I mean, it's really going to be the district attorney is going to be incumbent upon them to call these witnesses. And if they don't, then obviously we have subpoena power.
Yeah,
so we're not going to have any
issue
with
that. Okay. How many people approximately do you have that are going to testify that Daniel helped them? How many?
There are, as I said, there are approximately a dozen witnesses, give or take a couple, that overwhelmingly.
I got it. So you have in a court going in October, 12 Americans that are going to say, we were afraid of this guy. He was at the level where anything could have happened. And you have one convicted felon who wasn't even on the train saying the opposite. So it seems to me that any district attorney faced with on the record, because all this on the record, would drop the case. Doesn't that seem to you that any honest district attorney would?
Particularly in light of what we've seen in just in the last few weeks, right? The incident in Brooklyn, before that there were the shootings in the subways in the Bronx. And in the immediate aftermath of this incident, about a week later, there was a case in Brooklyn. You would hope, and I still hope, I still have some hope that somehow, some way, someone, the cooler heads will prevail in this case, won't have to go to trial.
Could the judge in the case dismiss it before it goes to trial?
So we have already submitted and had the judge rule on motions to dismiss. They were denied, obviously, or we still wouldn't be here. But you have to remember, the judge, and I like the judge in this case, I've tried cases in front of him before, he's a very good judge, but he is constrained by the same legal standard that the grand jury is constrained by. So he has to review it based on that standard. And the, you know, the old cliche, you can indict a ham sandwich. It may be a cliche, but it's pretty accurate. So, you know,
okay,
getting an
indictment
dismissed is next to impossible.
Remember, and I'm sure you do, Bragg pulled this in a bodega owner and charged him. And it was obvious because they had it on
Jose
tape,
Alba.
Right. That the bodega owner was defending himself against an armed criminal. And Bragg charged him, Alba, but then dropped it because of the public outcry. And I think the public outcry on Penny is going to be even worse. So here's the final question. And I don't want you to be a psychiatrist, but certainly you're a savvy defense attorney. The villain here, in addition to the deceased, Jordan Neely, okay, is Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. He didn't have to do this. Do you have any idea why he's doing it?
You know, I've been asked these questions before. I ran against D.A. Bragg in 2021. We have, you know, stark differences as we view the criminal justice system. But I'd like to think that Alvin Bragg is a decent human being. I can't opine on why this case is going forward and so many others aren't. And to some extent, look, you know, from my position, I got a case to defend. And I'm not doing my client any favors by, you know, pontificating on why a case may be going
forward. You don't want to bash Bragg.
But as I said before, you know, I do still hold out hope, and maybe aspirational, it probably is, that, you know, somehow there'll be an off ramp here.
Well,
I don't know what
Bragg's
that is.
He's going to be embarrassed, but I don't think Bragg cares at this point. I mean, he's been the worst district attorney in the history of this city. And it's not even close, by the way. The amount of horrific crime on his watch. I mean, you're looking at, you know, we're being compared to Haiti here in New York City. That's how violent and bad the city is at this point.
We saw that just last night. And I'm look, if I hope, if nothing else, if the two sides of the political spectrum can't agree on anything else, can we at least come together now with the death of a hero NYPD cop in cold blood in Queens yesterday, and come together and say, look, you know, this progressive new age criminal justice experiment just doesn't work. And let's put it in the ash heap of history and move on. And we'll argue about everything else there is to argue about in the world.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. These people will never admit a mistake ever. And I know that from, you know, 25 years of experience. All right, Counselor, we really appreciate your time. It's nice of you to come on and explain the case to the international and national audience who may not be up to speed on it. And please keep us posted every step of the way. I do think there is a good chance that this will not go to trial. It's a guess, but Bragg, if he loses this case, it's just going to be a very embarrassing. That's going to be the final nail for him. And I think he knows that. But I could be wrong. All right, Counselor, thanks again. We really appreciate it. Okay, so very disturbing because I live here. I live here. And I see it and I know it. And I know the cops. And I know people in the DA's office. And I know people in Albany. And I see it. It's so bad. I can't tell you how bad it is. Is it as bad as San Francisco? No. But it's approaching. President Biden didn't do anything for the people today. He went to North Carolina and raised money. That's what he does every day. He either does nothing or he goes someplace to raise money. Okay, let's go to RFK Jr. He apparently is running for president. Democrats are trying to keep him off the ballots in a lot of states. Well, he's supposed to at 2 p.m. today make an announcement of vice president. More than an hour later, no announcement. So I said to my staff, we'll do it tomorrow. Okay. But that shows a lack of discipline on Bobby Kennedy's part. The word is that he's going to have some female vice president who you never heard of and I never heard of, who's very wealthy and lives in California. That's a word. But he'll announce sometime today, and then tomorrow we'll do it. But here's the rub on RFK Jr. He's going to hurt Biden, all right, in November. And he's going to stick it out. He's not going to fold the tent. And boy, keep an eye on the Democrats in that situation. All right, here's an update on the NBC News situation. Looks like Ronna McDaniel is out. She didn't last very long, less than a week. We went over it yesterday in great detail. If you missed it, it's on BillO'Reilly.com. You see the clips. News Nation, I talked about it in depth last night with Leland Vittert. Ms. McDaniel was attacked by personnel at MSNBC and NBC News. And now the bosses over there have folded and are firing her. Why did you hire her in the first place? You had to know this was going to happen. You don't have a news agency over there at NBC. It's an ideological agency. That's what it is. What a shame. And tomorrow I got Bernie Goldberg. I'm going to talk about it because both Goldberg and I were in the network apparatus when NBC was at its peak. And boy, the deterioration. So anyway, probably the final nail in Miss McDaniel's coffin. Hate to use a cliche, but this was probably the final nail. Go.
I want to associate myself with all my colleagues, both at MSNBC and at NBC News, who have voiced loud and principled objections to our company putting on the payroll someone who hasn't just attacked us as journalists, but someone who is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government.
Well, number one, madam, you're not a journalist. You never covered a story that I know of. You're a liberal pundit. That's who you are. And getting rid of our system of government, it's a little overstatement, you know? And Rachel Maddow was one of the major strident voices pushing the bogus Russian collusion charges against Trump and his operation. It's what she said on March 9th, 2017.
Dramatic news tonight from Politico.com. This incident that happened last year, last summer on the Trump campaign, it was one of the first direct signs that we had that something strange was up in the Trump campaign when it came to the issue of Russia.
And of course, nothing strange was up because nothing happened, according to the special counsel. Did she apologize for that? Why is she still working? If Ronna McDaniel made a mistake, and she did, in trying to stop the electoral vote count of the 2020 election. If she made that mistake, and I believe Ms. McDaniel has said time and again, it was a mistake that she made. She's owned up to it. Well, Maddow hasn't owned up to what she did, and the whole crew at MSNBC did it for 2 years. They convicted Trump of Russian collusion. That's what they did. Everybody knows it. And even now, they're still peddling that, Roland.
Because it feels like we went from, you know, the Russia hoax to damn right we're colluding and it's not illegal. We'll prove it. I mean, it went from like, I didn't do it to, yeah, I did it and watch us do it again.
No, nobody did anything. That was in February that woman said that. It's just crazy, really crazy over there. Anyway, our reporting has been stellar on this. Thank you. I know I'm bragging, but we nailed it every step of the way. The hypocrisy, the foolishness, what the NBC News operation is now, 100%. And we have it all on Bill O'Reilly document.com documented. All right, let's go to President Obrador in Mexico. Thank God he's out in September. He can't run again. He's gone. Now, I don't know whether Obrador is taking money from the cartels. I know people around him are. Okay? This guy is a socialist, communist. All right? He doesn't like the United States. He is helping the drug cartels sell narcotics and smuggle migrants into the United States. Obrador helps them. So in 60 Minutes, he was confronted. Go.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. And the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
But there is drug consumption in Mexico.
But very little.
So why the violence then in Mexico?
Because drug trafficking exists, but not the consumption.
Well, that's a bunch of bull. But Obrador was forced by Donald Trump to close the border. Trump said to Obrador, if you do not put Mexican troops on the Guatemalan border and the USA border, okay, if you do not, then we're going to raise tariffs through the roof on Mexican goods. And we're going to slow everything down the border. So Obrador folded, had to do it. First day in office, as you know, Biden threw all of that out the window. But Obrador is a villain. He is right about drug consumption in the USA. As you know, I don't feel sorry for most drug addicts. I have compassion for those who are trying to get off the narcotics and the booze. And I do give money to charities that help them do that. But if you are an active alcoholic or drug addict, you are hurting not only yourself, but this country. I have no respect for you. But there's plenty of drug consumption in Mexico. All right, Donald Trump getting involved in the Israeli situation. He does an interview with some Israeli press at Mar-a-Lago. Yesterday it was released. Here's what he said. Go.
You have to finish up your war. You have to finish it up. You got to get it done. And I'm sure you'll do that. And we got to get to peace. You can't have this going on. And I will say Israel has to be very careful because you're losing a lot of the world. You're losing a lot of support. But you have to finish up. You have to get the job done.
Okay, but that's not that easy because Hamas won't release the hostages. You know, if they're not going to release the hostages, you can't have a ceasefire. Smart life. Okay, a survey of 2,000 American adults by one poll finds that 2/3 of us, 67%, are stressed out when we eat in a restaurant. I believe it. Okay? 48% are more likely only to eat out after they get paid. So the prices are high. You know how crazy the prices are. And the people going to the restaurants feel guilty because they don't have enough money to get by yet they're going in. So here's Smart Life, and I've said this before, I don't want to be repetitive, but this is a good strategy. I think that we all should get a break and go to a restaurant that we like that has good food. I don't go to the ultra expensive places. Once in a while for business, I have to, but in my own time, I never do. All right, I got my own places that are, I can live with that, the pricing. If I do go to an upscale restaurant, Smart Life. Number one, I do not buy booze. It's $15 a pop. You're crazy. I don't drink anyway, but even if I did drink, I wouldn't buy a $15 drink. Okay. Number two, just a Sprite is $6 or $7. I drink water. And it's fine. Many times I will order two appetizers, and that's more than enough food. So you get two nice appetizers instead of an appetizer and an entree. Never dessert. I got a Carvel down the street. If I want dessert, I whip in there. I got 18 Dunkin' Donuts around here. So picking up dessert on the way home is not a problem. If I want it anyway, but I'm cutting the sugar down. But anyway, if you do two appetizers and water, and you get a little bread or whatever it may be, you should be satisfied there, and you'll cut your bill down 30, 40%. Now, they're not going to like you very, but tip well, okay, if you go in and do that. Smart Life. All right, Puff Daddy. I still call him Puff Daddy because I don't know why he names himself every hour on the hour, but Puff Daddy, 54, record mogul. FBI, Homeland Security investigators, local police searches homes in L.A. and Miami. Big thing. Press was tipped off. This is the key to the story. If the media is tipped off by law enforcement on a raid, and they certainly were here, because the media was ready to photograph both LA mansion and Miami mansion. That means the feds want everybody to know what they are doing, and they have a strong case. Now, I watched some of the coverage last night. It was just foolish and stupid. The usual speculation, well, he might have done this, he might have done that. I don't do that. I don't know what he did. All right? And he's innocent until proven guilty. That's due process. I do know when you see federal law enforcement agencies go out of their way to embarrass somebody like that, they have to have something. So we'll follow it. This is in history, 25 years ago, March 26, 1999, Tom Snyder, remember Tom Snyder? Final appearance on the Late Late Show. Now, why is this history? Because it ties right into me. There were three newsmen who I watched very closely as a young journalist. Peter Jennings, Mike Wallace, and Tom Snyder. You may not have even remember Snyder, but Snyder was an anchorman in Los Angeles and New York City. And he was very kind to me when I was in college. Because, you know, I wrote him a letter and said, like, I might want to get into journalism. He actually invited me up to the NBC studios and we had a chat and gave me the pathway. And the guy was just brilliant on the air. He was absolutely brilliant on the air. Roll it.
I'm nervous tonight. You know, this is the last one. This is the farewell. And there's a saying in my business that you're only as good as your last show, so I am going to try and be especially good tonight. I have some people I'd like to thank, first and foremost, David Letterman, without whom I would not have had this job and whose generosity to me over the years has been genuine and beyond loyalty. In fact, I'll tell you, last night I went out to the parking lot with a bunch of people from the show, and Mr. Letterman sent to me via flatbed truck a vintage Cadillac convertible in cherry condition.
Now, Snyder was mesmerizing in his delivery. And I learned, you know, Wallace, the best interviewer ever, better than me, really. And when I went up against Wallace on 60 Minutes, you ought to Google that. That was some experience for me. Jennings was very, very powerful behind the anchor desk. And Snyder was just, boy, was he a good talent. Now, he smoked a lot, and he died 2007, I should say, in San Francisco. He lived north of San Francisco in Marin County. I kept in touch with him. He died at age 71 because of the smoking. So Tom Snyder retired 25 years ago today. This day in history ties right into my career, and that's why I wanted you to know. Back with Mail, and a final thought about awareness. Self-awareness. Are you self-aware? We're going to talk about it right back. All right, let's go to the mail. Mary Ann Artinian, Farmington Hills, Michigan, outside of Detroit. Bill, please define the difference between a migrant and an illegal. There is no difference. Every cycle, new cycle, there's a new name. Okay, but now we're using migrants. I don't care. As long as you know who I'm talking about. Bonnie Reynolds, Holton, Maine, way up there by Canada. Biden's schedule looks like he does nothing, but it only includes public events, so we don't know all the private meetings he takes in, or am I wrong? If he has a meeting with his cabinet, that is on the schedule. Now, if somebody just wanders in to the Oval Office, but I understand he's not in the office very much. I had a concierge letter asking me today, well, how come there were so many leaks during Trump and there haven't been very many leaks on Biden's White House? Because people don't have access to him. Trump is there all day running around, all right? But Biden's not. So you can assume, Bonnie, that he's got a light work schedule. Janet, I have a business in a small town in Northern California. Finding somebody who wants to work, shows up for an interview, is very rare. I keep wondering if they aren't working, how are they living with the high cost of everything? Governor Newsom has made it easy to get money, food stamps, medical. No one wants to work. There's something to that. California is a welfare state. There's something to that. People can get by and a lot of them do off the book stuff. They don't want to be paying Social Security taxes or any tax. So there's something to it. William Farrell Jr., Milton, Delaware. Bill, you said it is unconstitutional to force products or ideology on people. Here in Delaware, by 2035, all new cars must be EVs. It's actually 232. 82% of the cars in Delaware have to be what they call zero emission. Now, I don't know whether that's constitutional or not. So I assume there'll be court challenges, too. We'll see. Tom Crawford, Bee Cave, Texas. I've never been to Bee Cave. Just watched a movie on Netflix called Mending the Line about recovering vets. In closing credits, they showed a picture of a vet in a Bill O'Reilly track chair fishing. I'm glad they did that. We raised more than $30 million for disabled vets and police officers for these track chairs. Our mission is done. Okay? So I don't raise money anymore because we gave a track chair to everybody who applied for one. And it's one of the proudest moments of my career to be able to do that. Okay, Self-Reliance coffee mugs flying on out of here. Great gifts, and you might want them yourself. Send a message, give it to the younger people. They'll go, Self-Reliance, what's that? And you can explain. Okay, Confronting the President's hot book already, out September 10th, pre-ordered on BillO'Reilly.com. We will not bill you until we send it to you. Word of the day, do not be a troglodyte. Do you know what that word means, troglodyte? T-R-O-G-L-O-D-Y-T-E. Great word, troglodyte. Back with a final thought about self-awareness in a moment. Okay, so here's a final thought of the day. The mug self-reliance, in order to have self-reliance, you have to have two things, discipline and self-awareness. So if you make a mistake, you got to own up. Now, a lot of people won't do that in our narcissistic age. You know them. Never admit a mistake, ever. No matter what, no matter how much evidence there is, will not. And then when they're caught, they make excuses. Well, so-and-so did something worse, or I was under the influence of LSD. I mean, you know, excuses, you know, rationalizations. So anyway, I'm walking into a diner and have breakfast this morning, and the door opens. There's a little stairs like this, and a family comes out. So there's three kids, mom and a dad, typical American family. Well, the kids wham down the stairs, on the stairs already, okay, almost knocking me over. I'm a big guy, so I wasn't in any peril, but they're like this. And it was like, what are you doing blocking my way? Now, they were younger, so I didn't say anything, but I expected the parents to say something. No. So I kind of look at the father like this. He looks away. He knew. Awareness. Now, you can't expect the kids to be aware of anything unless you teach them to be aware. So, for example, when an elevator door opens, you let the people inside the elevator get off first. And that makes sense. Okay, but how many times have you seen people go in while there were people in the elevator? When there is an elderly senior citizen going up against the door and you're right there, you open the door. I open the door for everybody. If I'm in a position and there's a bunch of people, I just yank the door open and everybody goes in, okay? Because I'm aware that that gets people moving quicker than everybody having to close and open, close and open. This is called self-awareness. But you also have to be aware of other people and their feelings. So you can hurt people's feelings and you don't even know about it, right? But you can read it if you care, and that's the key. So if you care about yourself, you want to be operating at the highest level. That's self-reliance. If you're dependent on anybody, that's not the highest level, and you're going to get hosed. 90% chance if you are dependent upon another person or the government, you will get hosed. And I mean bad. If you're dependent on yourself and you protect yourself and build, you know, protective measures like a nice bank account, things like that, you're going to be far better off. But in order to do that, you got to be aware. How many of you have elderly parents that are broke? I had to support my mother for 15 years, and I was happy to do it. I'm of the Japanese philosophy where the elders are venerated. That's my philosophy. I was happy to support my mother. Kept her in the home. Whatever she needed, it was there. At the end, 24-hour care in the home. I didn't have to put her in a facility. But I knew that I would have to budget for that years before because I wasn't always thinking about myself. I was thinking about awareness. It was awareness of my life, my situation, others around me. This is a key. And you know what the shame of it is in America? It's not taught anymore. It's all immediate gratification. Where it me, you know, I got to have this, I got to have that. Oh, no, I'm not going to save. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to deprive myself. I'm going to, man, you're going to get it. And, you know, your parents, your elderly parents or whatever, we got to think. So anyway, this is a lecture. It's Holy Week, and I decided to do it. Awareness, very important to self-reliance, very important to your life. If you start now, then you'll see a big turnaround fast. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.